might be more likely to die than lose your job. At least that's what a new report from USA Today says. The analysis looks at how often the federal government fires people. And it says the government fired less than 1% of its workforce just last budget year. That amounts to less than 12,000 people in a workforce of 2.1 million. Others say, though, that article doesn't really tell the whole story. John Palguda, with the Partnership for Public Service, joins us with another viewpoint. John, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Amy and Tom. Always a pleasure.
You say USA Today maybe left out some facts. What are those facts that should have been kept in?
Well, that's right, Amy. I mean, this is a case where they gave us an accurate factoid, if you will. There are, in at least some agencies, there were more folks who actually unfortunately died than they were fired because they didn't fire anybody in a given year or just a very few. Although even government-wide, I will say that 11,668 who were fired last year, that was more than government-wide, the 3,200 who died. But that's really almost beside the fact. The issue with that one fact about in some agencies you're more likely to die than be fired overlooks the fact that there's a whole lot of other movement that goes on. And it's true that, you know, Congress did not want government to have an employment at will system. It decided that the public interest was better served if we remove people only for cause. So but they also then, Congress said, we have a merit principle that says employees who cannot or will not perform at an acceptable level should be removed. But they gave employees due process requirements so that you can say, hey, I'm being fired for the wrong reason. It's partisan politics or it's discrimination. It's, you know, for a federal manager, they have an obligation to deal with poor performance, including removing folks. Now, the goal is not to fire as many people as possible. The goal, obviously, is an effective government and effective government employees. And all the research shows that, you know, the vast majority of federal employees, are good performers. So, but let me just give you a couple of other numbers that were not talked about in the USA Today piece. Last fiscal year, there were actually over 200,000 employees who left government. 52,000 retired, 64,000 were in appointments that expired. They were temporary or seasonal workers. 74,000 employees just quit. They just, I'm going somewhere else. Thank you very much. 265 rift. So there's a lot of additional movement that goes on. Now, for those managers in government, if the process to remove somebody, you're going to have to document, you've got to justify, which seems reasonable. But then, you may have a lengthy appeals process. It may go to the Merit Systems Protection Board, may go to EEOC. I think a lot of federal managers have figured out alternative methods of dealing with poor performers. One method is you have that hard conversation with an employee. It's not working out here. This is not acceptable. We have to do something else. You can't be here anymore. And I've talked to a lot of federal managers who say, I've got a lot of people to leave. I didn't have to fire them. They voluntarily left, but that was in lieu of being fired.
John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. So getting back to the number fired and some of the obstacles to firing that government has that private industry often does not, employees at will, so to speak. I mean, is your sense that more people probably should be fired, but they just get transferred or they just go along the agency because it's easier to keep them than get rid of them?
Well, that's the other side of the coin, Tom. We've had a long history in the federal government of, being concerned about that small percentage of employees who are not performing at an acceptable level. In fact, the Office of Personnel Management has a task force underway right now, and there have been other task force. They have an employee performance management work group looking at this. So, yeah, we do have some employees who probably shouldn't be in the job. And I talked to a union official years ago who correctly said, you know, if we have a poorly performing employee and nothing's being done, we actually have two poorly performing employee, that the employee and that employee's supervisor. So we do have to continue to work on this this case of, you know, if somebody's not doing their job, the work of government's too important to let that go unaddressed. There's no support group for poor performers. There's no one out there, you know, rooting on poor performers in government. The people most critical of poor performers are coworkers. They hate it when they have to come in and do work to make up for something that someone else is not doing. So I think going forward, what we need to do is look at the systems. Is it too hard? It's not supposed to be easy, but it's not supposed to be too hard. Look at that balance. It's changed over time in the history of the civil service system. So maybe we need to take a look at, you know, the due process mechanisms and make sure that, you know, when there's cause, a manager doesn't have to spend, you know, half their time on the removal process. We need to first try to make poor performers better performers. But there was some great research done by the Merit System Protection Board and also Personnel Management, which shows that at any given time we have maybe about 3% of employees who aren't up to speed. When you deal with it, half the time that, you know, those employees can be made acceptable or better, then that means you've got a, you know, 1-1.5% who aren't doing their job. We saw that, you know, 0.5% at least do get fired. That's 11,000. Some are encouraged to leave. We do have that small percent left who aren't being dealt with, and you know, that's something we do have to focus on.
I wonder also, very briefly, we only have about 30 seconds left, but as we go through the budget process and the debt ceiling debate and everything that comes along with it, is any of this going to matter in the next year or so? Because there seems to be hiring freezes in place. There are going to be cutbacks that are coming. Definitely pay freezes that are going to be in effect. Not a whole lot of incentive to be part of the federal government anymore, if you look at it from that point of view. Is that going to help with this issue of attrition?
Well, there's another aspect to that, Amy, very quickly. I think it's getting harder for agencies to tolerate folks who aren't carrying the weight because it's going to be so hard with the budgets to get the job done. I think this may actually provide more pressure to deal with poor performers rather than less.
John Palguda of the Partnership for Public Service. You can find more information, hear this interview again at federalnewsradio.com/federal drive. John, always a pleasure having you.
My pleasure, Tom and Amy. Take care.